When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Your Mom is a Podcast. In this special podcast, Your Mom, you know what?
Your Mom's a Podcast. Yeah, Your Mom's a Podcast.
Here we interview incredible people and their moms to be like, excuse me, how did you do it?
I'm Sundeep Parikh. You're
Milana Weintraub.
And we're both two LA-based comedians and actors, and we're also new parents, and we need help.
So we're going to talk to people who are incredible and inspiring and change the world, crack us up, all of the above.
And learn to be better parents. And also learn to have some compassion for our parents.
Yeah, who maybe did some things a little wonky or a little perfect, because look at us, we turned out to be perfect people.
So welcome to Your Mom is a Podcast.
Hi, I am Milana Weintraub.
Hi. Oh, hi, I'm Sundeep Parikh.
You know what?
I thought you were saying hi to me, but I realize now you were saying hi to the audience. I get it.
Hey,
now.
Sundeep.
Hi.
I'm really grateful to be doing this with you because you're my old friend, one of my favorite people in the world to talk to. And what we talk about now
copy-paste about you.
Parenting. You know, it's kind of like every time I have a date with my husband, it's actually quite helpful if we have a third or a third and a fourth so that we talk about something other than like the things we have to do. Do you know what I mean? Like
a third and a fourth date?
Like a third and a fourth person.
Oh, I see.
We have a third.
Are you asking for a third?
Just for conversational purposes.
Got it.
I don't want to bring you home with me, but it is nice. I feel like that's kind of what we're doing in this podcast is it's like you and me getting some quality time, but then we have a third, which is our guest, and then a fourth, which is their mom.
That's true. We do have a third and a fourth. It's just the guest and their mom. It's a really weird way of explaining this podcast. I like it. I'm into it. Yeah, we do. We do a little pre-interview with the mom or dad or anyone that is their sort of parental figure in their lives. And then we ask the guest the same questions to see what they think that their parent has answered.
And then we kind of play it back in like a newlywed style. And give them points, which is arbitrary and pointless, but Sundeep loves games and I will allow him to have this.
It's all my fault and I need it. I need this. but why are we doing this? Milana, I feel like you recently changed the purpose, the reason that we're doing this, or you evolved that for us.
Well,
tell us about that.
Part of it was like, I wanted to learn how amazing people got that way. And I have found in doing this now a number of times that it's not actually entirely their parents that are responsible for why amazing people are amazing. Right. In fact, some amazing people are that way despite their parents. Yeah. Or like my mom was a complete pushover, which is why I am now an
activist.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, my parents were really close-minded, which pushed me to be very open-minded or whatever it is. And sometimes it's like the friend that they had when they were 12 that changed their life, or the boyfriend they had when they were 15 that made them a big part of who they are. So in a way, now this podcast is a little bit of a relief in my parenting to be like, I can do the best I can do. And also I have to let go and know that there are a lot of outside factors that are going to make my kid who he's going to be.
Right, right. Like, it's not all you. I do think that there is, like, when you were talking about they do things in spite of their parents, I feel like that's still parental influence, right? Like it's whether yes. it's repellent or magnetic, mm-hmm. it kind of, it is still influenced by the parents. So it's still interesting, I think, to find out in the ways in which we sort of, you know, try to go the opposite way. But I feel like you usually have one or the other response to any sort of, you know, major parental, like,
I think we probably have whatever. Both.
It's like, you're either like, okay, I don't want to do that at all, or, oh, I'm going to totally copy that.
And sometimes you are one or the other unintentionally, subconsciously. Yeah, like, so let me ask you that. In which ways do you feel like your parents really shaped you and drive you to be something different? I can go first if you want to.
Oh man, that's a huge question. If you can go, if you're ready, then go.
Well, like one of the things that came to mind is that for a while, my parents had a more like old world traditional marriage where my mom didn't work. And right. their relationship was not always satisfactory, to put kindly.
Yes.
And there were times where my mom was stuck because financially she had no way out. Mm. And seeing that made me feel and know that I always needed to be financially independent regardless of the relationship I was in. So right. whether I was with somebody who made more money than me or less money than me, it was not the reason I ever stayed in something. That was right. always really important to me. So I feel like, you know, in a way seeing her pain made me better. Mm-hmm. And then mm-hmm. I also think there are, you know, ways that or things that they thought were really good and important that I think were detrimental to me. And here's an example of that. I think, you know, I grew up in a very like Soviet community in LA, which is very, what's a nice way to say it? Like gossipy. Okay. Like, because everyone yeah. knows each other, everyone's talking about Insular, each other, talking about yeah. each other's kids and parents and grandparents. And
right.
it's very relational in that way.
Yes.
There was
that is not just a Soviet phenomenon. That is certainly an Indian community phenomenon. I mean, probably any community yeah, really, where think, you kind of like all are really bundled together and there's just like a big sort of, yeah, there's a lot of chit chat, a lot of chat.
Yeah. One of my best friends is a Southern Black Christian, and she can relate to this. So it's mm-hmm. like that small community mindset made me always think about what people are thinking about me or saying about me.
Yeah.
And my parents' priority was always about me being perceived well. Mm-hmm. And I think that was helpful in some ways, but ultimately I think put me in a box where I was yeah. anticipating other people's responses, reactions to me before I had a chance to authentically reply to anything. And just recently I've really thought, I'm like, man, I really missed the opportunity to have my freak flag fly at any point, because I was always watching or cautious of how it would make other people feel about me. And
yes.
And that robbed me of authenticity. And when I, even in high school, when I saw people who were really like anti-culture, I was like, man, that's so brave. I like really respected yeah. them and liked the freaks and geeks because of that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was always like, well, I'm just going to be demure and likable and palatable and right. easy to be around, even but if it like wasn't authentic to me.
That's fair. Yeah. And that's the thing I think we do as human beings, just biologically, our need is to have community and we survive because we are in community with each other. So we do sort of inherently find ways to normalize. Like that mm-hmm. is, you know, that's something we do, I think, even on a deeper subconscious level. It's not, you know, but I totally hear you. I've recently run into this comedian, Alok.
Alok
V. Menon, you know them?
Yes.
They're incredible.
Incredible.
And I mean, I don't think comedian's the right word for that person. They're just absolutely
just
wildly
performer, philosopher, poet.
Yes, all those things. And just like, talk about like you know, letting their freak flag fly. It's just like,
in the best way.
I've never seen anyone be more authentically themselves and so radically outside the cultural norms, but in a way that's so loving and representative of like aspirationally, I think, who we want to be. Like I always pop into their comments to just see what people say. And just like, there's a lot of people just being like, oh, this is the most Christ-like person I've ever seen in my life. Mm. Like, they're living their truth and they're so loving to their detractors.
Yes.
Like, talk about, someone who's doing something so, just being so like wildly themselves, but then also being so compassionate about the people that even hunt them. There was a video talking about how someone was hunting them in the streets of New York and saying like, I'm going to kill you unless you take off that dress. So like, this person was obviously sort of affronted by their appearance there. And so it's the way they explain how they were so compassionate with mm-hmm. the person that was predatory to them, just like blew my mind. So anyway, there's such power in living your sort of authentic self and sort of realizing that for yourself. And I hope that I'm able to create that kind of space for my son.
Mm, yeah.
I think is the
like the that's actually a really great example of like the parent maybe having influence, but not having all the influence, maybe allowing room for influence that's not them. Like, if you can introduce your kid to people like Alok, much that opens their mind beyond what you can actually do.
Right, right.
Anyway, welcome to our show.
Yeah, welcome to our show. This is our show. This is what it is. We're going to dab a little bit, and then we're going to have our awesome guest on. So thank you so much for listening to Your Mom is a Podcast. Be sure to give us a rating. You know, because that's important. Wherever you listen to podcasts, people care. We care. And also connect with us on the Instagram and TikTok, where you'd also find Alok and other great people. Mm-hmm. So we'd love to see you up in our comments. Because we're forming a little community here, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess without further ado,
here's our guest.
Let's get into it.
Okay, this is kind of a wonderfully twisted episode because usually what we do is we have guests and their mother or father or older brother or someone who is responsible for them becoming the person that they are. And in this episode, we have our friend Jimmy Pardo and... Did I say your name kind of like French?
She kind of said it wrong.
Yeah, it was like Pardo.
Jimmy Pardo.
You went French with it as opposed to the
Jimmy
Italian
Pardo.
Pardo. Yeah.
Okay.
And in this episode, we have our friend Jimmy Pardo, whose son we talked to. And this idea kind of came about because I was on your podcast, Jimmy, and you had us play a game that was built or like constructed by your son. And the game was so smart. And I love that you incorporate him into your work. And obviously, you have so much respect for him. That I was like, oh, maybe there's a world where we could have the two of you on and interview him about his perspective on your parenting because he's obviously such a cool kid. I know. Don't worry. You're going to love it.
You made a face, but it's pretty special, I got to say.
A little bit about Jimmy. He is a seasoned comedian, podcasting pioneer, known for his quick wit, sharp improvisation skills, and incredible stage presence. He hosts lots of philanthropic live events that I have been a part of. I've been so lucky to be a part of and would love to do anytime he asks me to. He's originally from Chicago, Illinois, and Pardo's comedy career took off in the early 1990s, where he honed his craft performing stand-up across the country. He's appeared on every kind of TV show, including guest spots on The Tonight Show and Conan and The Late Late Show, and his own half-hour special on Comedy Central.
Beyond that, Jamie, I don't know if you know this about yourself. you've hosted TV shows such as the Science Channel's critically acclaimed Race to Escape, National Lampoon's Funny Money for the Game Show Network, and five seasons of AMC's Movies at Our House. and he broke into the early world of podcasting in 2006. It was like you were the OG. You were
that's
like OG.
When I was born. That's so
happy
weird.
No, stop.
Thank you.
Happy birthday to you and your to Milana and your podcast. That, and that's your podcast is Never Not Funny, which we've both been on and we both love so much. The podcast is so funny. It blends humor, interviews, so much spontaneous conversation, lots of games, and it's got a dedicated following, critical acclaim, solidifying your status, Jimmy, as a podcasting icon. So we're so happy to have you on our podcast. Thank you so much for blessing us with your presence. And I was so happy to interview Oliver, your son. And I just got to say, whatever you're doing, keep doing it. This boy of yours is just, I was describing in the pre-show and Milana's like, you have to say this to Jimmy. And it's so true. He understands his place in the world. Like he's like a kid who's like comfortable in his own skin. And he's like the 16-year-old. I think I said this to him. I'm like, you're like a 35-year-old in a 16-year-old's body. It was really cool to meet him.
First of all, I thank you for saying that. He's, I don't know. I think like any 16-year-old, he's not 100% comfortable in his skin. And
sure.
But I appreciate you saying that. You know, when he was a little guy and I would bring him around, I worked at Conan from the second The Tonight Show with Conan O'Brien happened through 2016, I believe it was. And I would bring Oliver around as a little guy. And Conan was like, he's like 35 years old inside a 7-year-old body. It's like,
okay, wow. So he's 35.
Yeah.
He hasn't grown much. He's been 35 for years.
Exactly. Intellectually, he's been 35. He just is growing at the ages. Yeah. So he's always been, I don't know. I hate
mature.
The phrase old soul. I hate it.
Yeah.
Although, I got him to drop a name, Tommy Shaw from the rock band Styx. met Oliver when he was young. And he's like, Jimmy, I just got to say that your son's an old soul. Like he's already, like he gets it at 9. Like it just, it's bizarre. And so to your point, Sandeep, about, you know, whatever I'm doing, keep doing it. I think it's just him, man. I really do. I mean, I think I can guide you the best I can as a dad. And,
yeah.
and Danielle, my beautiful wife and wonderful wife and talented wife, is an amazing mother. I think she would even tell you it's just who he is. He's just a decent person.
Came sort of pre-baked with
I think
some,
so. And I've said this, and I know I'm his dad. I'm kind of supposed to say these sort of things, but I mean this. He may be the nicest person I've ever met. Like, I mean, he's just caring and kind. And like, you know, I'm a comedian. So I say, you know, look at that guy, blah, 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 blah. And he'll go, well, Dad, maybe he's having a bad day. Maybe he's just, you know, like God. Damn it, son. I'm trying to be a comic in the car.
Taking the piss out of my
And he gets it. And he does his own jokes too. But I think he looks for the good in everybody. And I'm very lucky that I have this kid. I really am.
Well, yeah, I agree. And we asked him to tell us about himself. So let's listen.
Okay.
I'm an only child. You know, there's my mom and my dad. And that's who we live with. That's the three of us. So I guess in birth order, I'm first and last.
I mean, it's like he kind of comes in with a joke about, I don't know. It's just what a lovely dude. So first and last. So is there, I'm just going to ask, like, were you always thinking one and done? Like, how did that kind of all come about? Because I ask because we are, and if this is too personal, feel free to dodge the question. But Milana and I we have one kid. We're both in it. We're both in the tunnel. We have kids under 5. Mine's 5. Milana's is younger. You know, so what was your decision, family decision around, you know, how many kids and all that?
You know, I initially, I have a tattoo on my left arm of an anchor that I got after I had basically a midlife crisis when Oliver was born. So I got 2 tattoos and one of them is an anchor in that he keeps me steady. And so it's got 2 spots for names, like the rope kind of has 2 little areas to put names on. And I have Oliver's name in one and the other one is empty. And because the plan was for us at one point to have a second child. And then as time went on, it's a combination of, honestly, show business narcissism of I only have, and I'm not a fan of this phrase either, I only have so much bandwidth to pursue my dreams and goals and raise a child. I don't know if I can handle 2. That was my selfish thought. At the same time, Danielle and I are like, this kid's great. Like, why why risk bringing a second one into the world that maybe
what's the other one?
Isn't great. And then, you know, everything, I mean, and when I say health-wise and personality-wise, like everything seemed to be okay. So it's like, why? Let's not muck this up. And we seem to be a great 3-headed monster. We really do. We seem to be a nice team over here. So yes, initially it was to have 2. And then as time went on, I was like, you know what? This is a good team. We're good here.
So we asked Oliver if he's ever wanted a sibling. Let's hear what he said.
Okay.
I'm sure I thought about it. There were certainly times when maybe they were both working and I would be like, boy, it would be great to have another person here. But I was fine with it. I was sort of, I'm all right with being an only child. I certainly found ways to entertain myself. And again, also have fun with them.
I'll agree with that. There are times that I wish he had a sibling to play with and, you know, go out in the yard with and that sort of thing. And the days that, you know, that Danielle or I are tired or whatever, but he nailed it. He finds ways to entertain himself. He's got, you know, friends and and then we do it. Like I said, we're a pretty decent team. We have fun, but there are times where it'd be like, did we screw up by not having a second one? Like, did we deprive him of that joy? Also, when I'm old, it's going to be 100% his responsibility to take care of me. That doesn't seem fair. Maybe we should have a second one for that reason.
But it'll be fine in the future. We're going to have robots and stuff that'll take care of you. It'll be fine. It's, you know.
I think that there's something actually quite thoughtful and the opposite of selfish when you say, I have this kind of career-driven ambition and I don't want to have to split my time even more. Because what you're saying is, I want to be present in my kid's life. And if I have another one, I might need to be less present in that second kid's life and in my first kid's life.
I'll agree with that. And then at the same time, running around town doing what we need to do for show business, which is not an easy task.
Yeah.
You know, I like to play this thing as a game a little bit. So I'm going to award you a gold star if you're able to guess the answer correctly. Mm-hmm. All right, okay. For this one. Yeah, I see you perked up. See, he's engaged. He's into it.
I like games.
So exactly. So we asked your son, what's the best gift you've ever given your son?
What do you think he said?
Oh, that's a great question. Obviously, the gift of love and affection. That certainly is always on
the
table.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what he said.
I'm sure that's what he cares about. Yeah, it's great. He can really drive that around and show it off to his friends. Yeah,
I don't know if this is the answer. But I took him, we flew to Chicago to see Hamilton when Hamilton was still the thing. And Chicago was the first city outside of New York to have it. So we flew to Chicago for his birthday to see Hamilton. That's my guess.
Okay. What did he say?
I'm a very big board game guy. I love board games. So certainly there have been times where I've gotten a board game and then we open it. And then that day we play it as a family and we have a really nice time. There's this movie game. I think it's called the Blockbuster Game where you got to get people to guess movies as a team. And I just remember us cracking up a storm and just having a great time. The question was The Godfather and Goonies. And he had to name a quote from both of those movies, my dad. And he completely blanked for the Goonies. His quote was, for life. I don't remember that ever being in the movie. And his quote for The Godfather was, hey, we're not good fellas. And I think we were able to guess it. It took a couple tries for us to figure out what the heck he was talking about.
All right, Jimmy. So you spent all this money. You flew him all the way to Chicago. You get him tickets to this amazing show.
Yeah.
And then what he likes is your dumb, terrible quotes from this board game that you guys played together. Where's your head at?
Well, I mean, in a way, to become a sentimental dad here, in a way, isn't that the greatest answer?
Yes, it is. Of course it is. Yes.
Like the greatest, you know, a $9.99 game from Target and just the memory of that day. Here's the thing. I'm not a big, my son loves board games and my wife loves board games. I like some board games. It makes sense that he would pick this Blockbuster one because it's one of the ones that I do enjoy and we get to, you know, have fun and do the quotes and the act outs and everything that comes along with that game.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great. My heart was huge already. So I don't want to say I'm Grinch-like in my heart growing, but that was, I don't know if there's a better answer than that, quite frankly.
Yeah.
I agree.
It's pretty great. Awesome answer.
Yeah. I mean, I'm liking that he's bringing his mockery of his dad public as opposed to just privately here in the house, which happens a lot. That for life gets quoted a lot in this house because I'm not of the generation. I'm older than you two. And so the younger, the group that came up behind me are all into Goonies. And I was too old.
Right.
I never thought it was good. It looked like it was garbage to me. So it,
right,
it,
right.
It doesn't ring to me. So
it's your like, Pokemon. That's okay, how I feel about Pokemon. Right. I'm like, I just missed the boat on it, and people love it. And I'm just like, I don't kind of get it.
Let's cut to our sponsor, Pokemon.
Yes.
Collect them all.
Yeah. or not.
I love that his response for like, what was the best gift? And he could have said any like material thing that you have gotten him. And he was like, this quality time.
Yeah.
It's this time my dad did this dumb bit.
I'm proud. Very proud.
Aww. Yeah. The thing you don't want to say about him, but like, that's pretty, like that is the hope, right? Like, I'm like, oh man, it just sort of makes me reflect on, right, being a parent and being like, oh yeah, again, the thing that I can do that will be most important to him is just pay attention and play with him.
That's what it is. And that solidifies it. Now I feel guilty about it the times that I wasn't in a mood to play a game. So, this has been a double-edged sword through what just happened.
Let me ask you, in what ways are you and Oliver similar?
I think he's got my sense of humor. I think he's got, I think he's got some of my neuroses. He's got his own fears that I don't understand, and I've got my fears he doesn't understand. When you say similarities, the first thing that pops up is that we went to see Oliver in a play at school, and Danielle and I were walking into the theater, and I was the ushers were there, and the ushers all had little vests on that had Usher on their like a name tag that says Usher. And I said to Danielle, I go, let's go in this direction. It looks like that's where the ushers are. Or whatever I said in my stupid Jimmy Pardo, you know, comedic cadence. And one of the young ladies says, are you Oliver's dad? And I said, yeah, I'm Oliver's dad. She goes, you sound just like him. That's something he would have said. Oliver would have said that exact same thing. Aww. And I said, oh, he sounds like a smart young man. He would have said that. She got all excited about that. And she's like, you talk exactly like him. Your rhythm is the same. And, so I think that we're similar in that way, and I do think he's got a great sense of humor, and that's how I think we're similar comedically, and also I guess with being kind. I don't know. Yeah,
Jimmy, we're gonna play the answer.
Okay.
You know, he's a very funny guy, and he's certainly, I would hope, has passed a lot of that on to me. We certainly like to laugh a lot. So I'd say that's a similarity. You know, he's certainly, you know, gotten me into music. I wouldn't call myself a music aficionado in the slightest. He knows a lot. I would say we're very similar. In fact, so much so that one time my friends ran into him, and I wasn't there, at like a school function, and they just guessed, and they knew he was my dad, which is crazy. They were just like, are you Oliver's dad? And they had no idea that he was going to be there, and that was crazy. So I guess something about the mannerisms or the way we talk, the things we joke about, or something, is very similar.
Now listen, I don't want to believe that you guys cheated and talked about your answers.
We didn't.
Okay. No, but that was so spot
on. We've got some strict rules around that, yeah, Jimmy. We just want to emphasize that we will call the police.
Oh, that's great. You are very strict.
Very strict. Very strict.
I will tell you this. When it comes to that sort of thing, first of all, I follow the rules, but nobody in the world follows the rules more than Oliver does. Nobody in the world. So if you tell him you're not allowed to talk about this, believe me, we did not. Yeah. I just said, hey, how did it go? It went great, Dad, but you know, I can't talk about it. I'm great. We won't talk about it. So
I'm giving you 2 stars for that, because holy cow, that was dead on. Amazing.
Okay, in what ways are you not like your son?
I think I'm more adventuresome. I think he is very afraid of water slides and roller coasters and stuff like that. He is not afraid to talk to people. He's not afraid to go out. I think I'm more adventuresome, I think, would be my answer on that.
Real seeking. Okay.
I don't like golf that much. He loves golf, especially watching golf. And I can't get into that at all. I've tried. I'll sit with him and I'll watch it. And just that's something that I don't get the fun of watching that in or playing that at all.
Yep. That makes sense.
Well, that's really
adventuresome.
Okay. Well, that's good news about that golf. That's interesting.
Now you know that he doesn't like this thing that you are deeply passionate about.
When he was on the golf team in middle school, and he was great. He was phenomenal. But he didn't really care. And so it was like, but Oliver, you've got the skills. If you play more often, you'd be really, really good. And he's like, I just don't care, Dad. I'll just go out and have fun when I golf. And so I assumed that he at least had fun when he golfed. Now I just learned that he doesn't even enjoy that aspect of it. So this is a kick in the crotch. This part of this.
So sorry.
This little fun experiment you two are doing.
Truly the opposite of our intent.
Yeah, that was rough.
We weren't going to play this answer coming up here because we deemed it maybe not as interesting as some of the other answers. But I think in light of this being this answer, this last one being a kick in the crotch, I think we kind of have to. We asked your son, what's a favorite tradition of a family tradition of yours? Do you want to take a guess as to what you think he said?
Well, I've been 0 for all of them, so I...
No, you got the double gold star on that one.
That's true, the skull one. Okay, yeah, so what is a family tradition? Boy, oh boy. Well, I know he hates the one that my wife, we like to go and climb the outlook. What's it called? My God, my prevision is not kicking in. Where you go and you overlook the city. What would that be
called?
Let's
call it an overlook.
Yeah, an overlook. I just made up a word, I think. So my wife likes to do that every New Year's Day. And I know he hates that.
Okay, that is not that
a tradition that he likes. So what's his favorite tradition?
Yeah.
I don't have a clue. I have no clue.
Okay. All right. Well, let's just play it.
Great.
Every summer, we try to go miniature golfing as a family. And it's a small thing, but it's the first thing that came to mind. And it's always I love doing it. And it's sort of like a nice thing to do as a family. And I'd say it's timeless.
Okay. So I just wanted to play that because, listen, he doesn't totally hate golfing. Okay. Clearly, he likes it.
He likes
when there's windmills
right.
and like giant clown faces swallowing a ball or whatever. So,
Here's the part that sucks. I was going to say that. I was going to say when I said the thing about the pizza, I was going to say miniature golf and then pizza, and I left it out for editing purposes. God darn it! All right, so I'm giving myself internally. I'll give it a bronze star.
All right, yeah, that's how I win all the games too. It's just an internal meter.
Yeah,
just giving yourself points. Yeah.
So you said you were like kind of hands off in some elements of like protecting him and that kind of thing. But what has been your thought around giving him advice? Does he go to you for advice? Do you like to give advice? Do you try not to?
Well, I'll give anybody in the world advice. I run my mouth to anybody that's interested.
Good to know. I will be calling you more often.
Oh, I don't know if I'm helpful. I don't know. That's the downside of my advice. I think as he's getting older, he's coming to me. I think I offered advice when he was younger. And I think as he's getting older, he's coming to me more with advice and maybe me more than his mom about certain things, which is interesting to me because when I was his age, I would go to my mom more than my dad for advice. For whatever reason, I just felt more comfortable asking my mom certain, maybe embarrassing questions like
personal
questions. Yeah. That I kind of just like didn't want to show my dad that side of me. Where it seems like my son isn't afraid to show that side of himself. And so I think he's more comfortable coming to me for advice. So
it's probably a function of you being you a little bit, right? Like being like he feels safe around you enough to be vulnerable about his stuff. And maybe
I think
you didn't feel that way around
him. And I think a big part of it is, I do share a lot of stories with him about funny failure stories. You know what I mean? Like, us being in show business, there's been shows like, you bomb or you drive X amount of hours to get to a gig, your car breaks down and look what, your idiot dad did this to make it to the show on time. Or, hey, one time after a show, this happened or, at this audition, I said this and that cost me the part. Like, so I laugh at myself whenever I explain failure to him and then failure. Yeah. It hurts like hell for a day or two. But at the end of the day, it doesn't really,
I love that. I love that you share your failures with your son. It's like, it's so by virtue of being vulnerable to your son about your own failures, it's allowed him to feel comfortable to come to you.
But my wife does too. But I think in a different way than from my dad and I think my dad, I think Oliver feels like, well, my dad's a guy and I'm a guy. So, he'll understand my questions better. As opposed to like looking at the dad the way that I kind of did growing up, it certainly was not the wonder years where you're afraid of your dad. I was never afraid of him, but it still was like, he's the dad and I'm the kid. Whereas I think our generation, I think we raise our kids a little bit differently. And
I love this idea of sharing your failures with your kids, and honestly, probably just with more people because we're such a culture of sharing only the good. Yeah. But with your kids specifically, I can imagine how it makes them feel less afraid to fail and thus more excited to try new things that they may or may not be good at, but won't know until they try.
I think that's kind of what started me doing it. Like, you know, him like maybe auditioning for the school play or, you know, giving, you know, whatever he would want to do. It's like, I don't know. That seems like it might be a little scared. Like, well, let me tell you about the time that I blah, blah, blah. And then I could laugh at myself. And that's the key is that it's not coming from a place of bitterness. The, you know, the stories are all like, you know, your dad's a clown, and but in a positive way, if that makes sense.
Yeah. We asked Oliver, what's some good advice that you've given him, and what do you think he said?
Oh, man. Be true to yourself, I would say. Don't be afraid to be silly. boy, oh boy. I don't know. I'm genuinely curious
let's
to
just
see
go
what
with
he
that.
Said.
Let's go with that. Let's hear what he's going to say.
A good legit advice that he's given me is to kind of just be more like how I am around him, around my friends. I guess who I am, the person I am, the making jokes, and also, you know, just being a nice person. Kind of just like the way I act when I'm just like relaxed and there's no one around. Just be that around everybody. And I think that's really smart advice.
Ding, ding, ding.
That's kind of what I meant by just don't be afraid to be silly. Like, that's what I meant by that. Like, just be... be who you are with your friends because you're, you know, they're going to laugh and love you the way that we do.
Yes.
I love that. But I also love that there's like an element of like, whether this was intentional or not, but of, you know, reflecting on yourself a little bit to say, oh, how am I around my parents versus how am I around the rest of the world? And go like, yeah, I guess I am kind of this way or more relaxed and I feel easier, breezier. And how can I bring that to an uncomfortable environment, a place where I'm not so safe?
It's also saying we love you. Like, hey, who you are around us is amazing.
Yeah.
We love who you are. Bring that to the world.
Exactly. That's and he should, because he's a I mean, you hear him, he's a good kid.
He's amazing.
Oh, your words, not mine.
All right. Well, we also asked him if there was one thing that you can go back in time and redo with your dad. What would that be? I'll say this. I'm going to give you a hint.
Yeah.
It's something you've discussed before around his fears.
Oh, I know what it is. I know exactly what it is. Thank you for the hint. I brought him on Splash Mountain at Disneyland too soon. He was too young. And I thought he was ready for it. We went on the little kid roller coaster, the one in Toonland or whatever it's called. And he loved it. And we did it. And he ran around and we did it a second time. Then we ran back in line, did it a third time. And that made dummy me go, oh, he's ready for the big coasters now. And so then we went to get in line for like Space Mountain. The line was too long, but there was no line for Splash Mountain. So I went, it was me and my mom and Oliver, and we went on Splash Mountain and he hated every second of it. And I knew it the second we were on it, like this, buffoon, this is a horrible mistake. And then you know how you get the photograph afterwards when you're done?
Yes. Oh, no.
Like you see my mom and I having a ball, and then Oliver's just in the middle, just, you know, white as a ghost, scared out of his
mind. Oh, no.
And so when I say that I wish he was not as afraid of roller coasters and was a little more fearless, I know that I had a hand in screwing that up. And I think that's going to be his answer. I do.
Okay, let's hear what he has to say.
We went to an amusement park when I was young, and we went on the roller coasters, and I hated it. I was scared out of my mind. So I guess to be able to go back, I probably still would be, but to be able to go back and I guess do that again, maybe when I could enjoy it better, I think would be great.
Yeah, that's I gave you the long version. That's
sounds
it.
Like you got to take him to Disneyland.
He won't go on.
Got to go back.
He won't do it.
He just said he would like to redo it.
We have recorded proof.
You have it on tape.
I just had the conversation with him. He still won't do it. And then I said, now that you're big, we can go on water. We can go on big fun water slides. I don't know, Dad. I just don't like them. Like, you do like them.
One of these days, when we're like, I wish we were that show where we were, you know, wealthy enough that we could be like, all right, we're sending you and Oliver to Disneyland to go do it, and we're going to film it. Because I would love to see it.
So do you find that Oliver gets in trouble?
No.
Like, has there ever been a time where you've had to like discipline him or reprimand him or?
That is part of when I say to Danielle, we're the luckiest parents. I honest to God, I mean, certainly there's Oliver, stop doing that, or Oliver, you can't do that. And he did go through a little phase where but it all was about justice. He felt there was injustice happening in the classroom, and where people weren't listening to the teacher. And so he would tell people to quiet down. And when he was telling people to quiet down, that's what the teacher heard and would tell him, Oliver, you can't talk. And he's like, and he would lose his temper and go, I was telling them to stop talking. I'm the one listening. Oh. They're the ones. But he would be so, he'd become so enraged by it that then the kids would kind of poke and prod and try to get him to do that, because they would laugh at it. And so I don't want to say there was discipline involved, but there was more just like, you got to kind of control your temper, even if there's going to be injustice in the world. And we deal with it the best that we can. And losing your temper like that is not the way to do it. I think is the way we handled it. But otherwise, honest to God, you know, there's never been a, you know, hey, you did that, we have to ground you, or hey, we did that, we're going to take your phone away, or hey, we're taking away television privileges. You know, nothing like that. And again, I don't even know if that's a thing parents do in 2024. I know that we never had to, because he's never done anything that required us to really discipline him. And I know that sounds insane.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love that he has an innate sense of justice.
Yes.
I don't know if that's a thing you can teach or if that's a thing that anyone is born with. I genuinely, this is a full question mark, but I also, you know, even with my little one, I'm trying to figure out like, hey, the feeling is valid. The reaction is a thing you can control. And so I think, and that's a thing that I think we have to like figure out how to process as adults.
100%.
1,000%. Yeah. I think on the justice thing, just to speak on that for a second, because I was thinking about that too, you know, about like how to make my son sort of socially aware of things that are, you know, not good in the world, but unfair, in a way that wouldn't scare him being five, you know. And then someone gave me the advice of, well, right now at this age, rather than being like, here's what's going on in Russia and Ukraine, you know, like we don't need to go there, you know, with what or whatever's happening in the world. Here's what's happening in Gaza. You know, you don't need to go there with a five-year-old. But to get him to celebrate different cultures or different traditions and different people, like that's a thing you can do to get him to respect people that are not like him.
Yeah.
And love on people that are not like him, and just and be curious. Then when later he sees that these people are not being treated well, he will inherently feel that they are being wronged and that there should be justice for what's happening to them, because he's been taught or he's been exposed to how to see them as humans and celebrate them. And so it will just inherently make him feel like there's being injustice done here, like that there's no reason for them to be treated that way.
I think that's great. And I think that we're very lucky growing, raising. I know this is insane because a lot of people say that raising kids in Los Angeles is the worst idea. I think in regards to what you just said, Sandeep, it's the greatest idea, because it is such a melting pot, and we get to see all walks of life here, which I did not experience growing up in the South suburbs of Chicago. It was, you know, really a white, bigoted, racist area that I'm grateful to not really be a part of anymore. But I think when you see injustice happening in a classroom, or you see, you know, women maybe not getting jobs in, you know, in town, and men maybe getting a job that they don't deserve over a woman who's just as qualified or even more talented, I think that they see it more here.
They feel it. They feel it on their own. You don't need to necessarily like lead the witness, so to speak, and be like, isn't this terrible? You can kind of just be like, it's apparent that it is for them.
Agreed.
We did ask your son, tell us about a time that you got in trouble. I think let's just hear his answer.
Okay.
Yeah.
There was a time when I was younger and I had heard about people just saying they're sick and not having to go to school. And I was like, whoa, you don't need to actually be sick. You can just say it. And I got very excited about that. I was like in like fifth grade or whatever. And I was like super excited. And I like, I don't lie. I like never lied. So I was like, I didn't know what to do. And I was like, hey, I'm not feeling well. And I was like, oh, I'm not feeling well. I can't go to school. And they're like, oh, okay. And they had believed me because I'd never lied before. And then about 30 minutes later, I was jumping on my bed and playing baseball in the backyard. And I was like, all right, well, I think he's not actually not feeling well. I didn't know. I was new to the game. I didn't know how to not give it away. Then they brought me to school. And then like kind of after the day, I guess we sort of sat down and was like, you can't do that. You shouldn't. You can't lie. I was like, oh, okay. My bad. I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh, that's so not getting in trouble.
I know, right? That's nothing. By the way, I don't even remember that. It's just such a nothing.
Right.
But if that's what sticks in his head is one time I was brought to school late and then had a conversation afterwards.
That's his like Alcatraz or something. His like big punishment that he's remembering.
What do you think you do that drives him crazy?
Oh, I get this from my mother. It is, I ask the same question over and over and over. It's specifically, my wife hates it too. If we are in a movie theater or a theater, and I will say, can you see okay? Yeah, you sure? You sure you can see okay? You're okay? You all right? You gonna be okay? You can see? Dad, I'm good. Yes, honey, I'm fine. Okay, another minute. You sure you can see okay? You're fine. You can see okay? Like, and
so what do you think? Because you're aware of this, like you're talking about it right now. So what do you think is going on, like,
I don't
with
know.
You in those moments?
I think,
are you feeling some anxiety and you're just like, I want to make sure that.
I guess it is. It's, you know, I really don't know what it is, but I do know that it's annoying and I really wish it didn't happen and I cannot stop myself.
And do you think they wouldn't tell you? Like when they're like, I'm fine, you're like, no, you really wouldn't tell me. You need to tell me. Because it's a little bit of like there's an ounce of distrust in it.
Yeah.
Of like, I'm giving you five opportunities to tell me the truth.
Yeah. And as he just said, he doesn't lie. Like, and neither does my wife for that matter, by the way. I'm the jerk in the family. You know, I'll lie. I'm lying to you two right now. All this stuff I said. That's a great point in that if he couldn't see, he would say something.
He would tell.
Yeah. But I don't. And again, I know I get it from my mother because she didn't to me growing up, you know, until the day that sadly that she passed away.
It's a connection thing where it's just like, it's a way of being like, I care about you. I care about you. Yes. I care about you. I care about you. I just want you to know I keep caring about you. And by the way, in case you didn't remember, right. I still care about you.
Still care. Still interested. Yeah. But it's rough. I don't blame them.
Well, guess what, Jamie?
Yes.
That's not the answer to
the
question.
Oh, it's not?
There's another way you annoy him. Let's hear.
Oh, Christ.
When he's coming into my room, he somehow knocks like he's busting the door down. It's ridiculous. I like jump out of my seat every single time. It's terrifying.
It's terrifying.
Yeah.
It's Splash Mountain all over again.
Yeah. He does jump out of his seat as if he doesn't know that there's anybody else in the house. And
Yeah.
And I do, admittedly, and I have to change this as he's getting older. I need to knock and wait because I used to just kind of like it was all in one knocking and opening up the door at the same time. And that
you
might
can
not
give
be
him
cool.
a beat.
Let's give him a beat.
Maybe not cool.
Let's give him a beat.
I have to say to
let
your
him hide the joint, Jimmy. Wait, give him a second to hide the joint.
You're talking about a kid that will never do drugs.
I know,
or even that, which is legal, of course. But he's just that's not in his makeup.
No.
I once to your point about. Asking the are you okay question many times. I do think it's a little bit of a trauma response for sure. I was once dating somebody and it really drove him crazy that I would be like, do you want a blanket? Are you cold? Do you need, are you hungry? Should we eat? Should we stop and eat and now and then and bleep and boop and should we and are you okay?
Yeah.
And we went to couples therapy and he told it to the therapist and the therapist was like, if you don't like this, you shouldn't date a Jewish woman.
Oh, wow.
What? That's an insane thing for a couples therapist to say.
What?
Well, I love it as like a, hey, like we have this epigenetic trauma response that comes from like starving and freezing that needs to make sure that the people we care about are neither of those things. So this is just, it's so deeply implanted in her. It might not ever change.
Right.
And not just her, but like everyone in her family and everyone who is like her family.
Along these lines, we asked your son, what does your dad get stressed about? What do you think he said?
What do I get stressed about? Boy, that's a great question. I guess based on my previous editor, people's comfort apparently stresses me out. What do I get stressed about? I don't think I would ever show him being stressed about money. That's never been a thing, but I know that's a common father slash family thing to get stressed out about. What would I get stressed out about? Oh, you know what it is? I know what it is.
I mean, you're making that podcast money, so.
Yo, you kidding me? I'm a pioneer. You said it about earlier. I'm going to say, and if it, this is not the answer, I'll be surprised. He probably just didn't think of it that day. Because it does drive him and my wife nuts. It even drives me nuts a little bit. I must be the first person on the airplane. I must be. I must get to the airport early, and I must be the first person on the plane. And I stress out if somebody tries to get in front of me in the line to get on the plane. I hate when they make the announcement and then there's a clog at the thing and then I can't be the first. And I'm not kidding.
You go on a lot of flights, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Right? As a performer.
Uh-huh.
So this is a big part of your life here.
Yeah. And it is,
you are,
it is a stress. Yeah. It is really a stress. And I know it drives the two of them nuts when they travel with me. They probably do not enjoy traveling with me for that reason. And I even tweeted it out recently. Like it even concerns me how much how important it is for me to be the first person on the plane.
Why is it important for you to be the first person?
I don't know. I hate crowds. I think that's part of it. I hate the, I hate the just, I like to, it's if
cramped.
You're first,
standing in the line and
Yeah, I think that's what it is. It's claustrophobia, I think, at the end of the day. And so if I'm first, I get to be in front of all of that. And then I get in my seat and I don't have to worry about that log jam of people in the narrow little, alleyway, for lack of the better word. Walkway.
That's why I like to be the last person. I'm like, everyone go on. Even when I travel with my kid, I'm like, everyone go on, go ahead. And then at the very end, I will walk down and I will sit my ass down and it'll be fine. And also I think because I'm short, I'm like, I'll just put my bag under my feet. It's fine.
Yeah. But I was going to say, that's the big thing about being last is that you lose the overhead compartment space. That's huge.
Yes, but it's fine.
All right. Well, let's hear what we got to hear what Oliver has to say, because
about the stress. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely flights, airport stuff. He, despite having gone on more flights than probably I would say most people in his lifetime, like for work and stuff, having to fly around, he goes panic mode. He shows up to an airport like 5 hours early.
No, I don't.
And even though the TSA takes 3 seconds and then we're there sitting for like 4 hours, and he's like, you know, should we go get a croissant from like the Starbucks? He's like, oh, okay, but let's make sure we're back in time. Let's make sure we're back. And I'm like, yeah, it's right there. You can see the gate and the Starbucks. They're the same distance away. Yeah. He stands up and gets in line for boarding early.
Well,
yeah.
I got another one right.
Nailed it. Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Well done. Well done.
yep.
That's hilarious.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, do you care if Oliver has kids? Like, do you think about what it would be like to be a grandparent?
Do I care? I want him to knock somebody up in high school. I want him to, I want to be a grandfather tomorrow. Like I just, yeah.
Why
is
that so sweet?
Yeah, hope he gets a teen pregnancy.
Yeah, it's a, and I do the math in my head about, okay, let's say he realistically has somebody when he's 35. How old will I be at 35? Will I have a chance to have a,
I'm doing that math too.
Bunch of numbers in years as a grandfather. And so, yeah, I can't wait until he has kids.
Well, we asked him if he wants kids.
Uh-oh.
When he gets older. Let's hear what he said.
Okay. I feel like because I'm an only child, I feel like it would be nice to have just one kid. But I feel like a sibling, like a two would be nice. I feel like that would be good.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds like you might be a grandfather to many.
Yeah. Then get moving. That's what I say to him. Let's go. Start making out with some kids. Let's go.
start making out with some children. Quick.
Yeah. Let's go. With of age children. Let me.
Sure.
I'm not creepy. Yeah.
we also asked Oliver, do you have any advice for your parents? What do you think he might have given you advice about?
To give me advice. I guess it's come up a million times here, probably just to relax more, just to be not as grating. I'm gonna go with that.
You're on the right track, and it's about I'm gonna try to get you some more points here. It is about relaxing, you're not stressing, but about a particular subject that's maybe coming up.
Oh, interesting. Well, can't it's not about college, because I don't think we're stressing about college necessarily. I mean, I speak.
Great, let's hear the answer.
Okay. Oh, college. All right.
With me going off to college, they're very worried that we're going to lose contact and things like that. And I guess just to tell them to don't worry about that. Obviously, aww, I spent 16 years with them. I genuinely enjoy spending time with them. But like, obviously, I'm going to become my own person. But just to not worry about drifting away so much.
That's beautiful. Can I ask? Sorry to. I love that he loves spending time with you. And in fact, I want that to be a big quality in my family. Like I love spending time with my son now. I mean, he's tiny, but it's so fun. And he loves spending time with me for the time being, but I'm always being told that there's a time where they're going to prefer other people over you, and they are going to, you know, and it's natural that they're going to want to detach. But was that something that you thought about in raising him, of like wanting to be a person that he wants to be with as he gets older?
Not necessarily. He was so easy. You just respected him. Basically. And honestly, we went the opposite. It's like, dude, you got to hang out with kids. You got to go, you know, go to the mall, whatever young people do, go do that. And I don't know if I agree with his advice, to be honest with you. I don't think we're worried that we're going to lose touch with him. It's just the idea of him going away. And I think that's just normal for any parent to be like, and especially in our case of the three of us, you know, like I say, being this great team, family unit of like, oh, he's now it's going to be just the two of us. And this guy that does enjoy our company and we enjoy his company is going to be gone. I don't think we're going to lose touch with them. I deny his answer.
I will not take his advice. Mm-mm. I refuse. I don't accept the premise of his advice. Yeah.
Have you and Danielle talked about how your relationship is going to change now that he's going to be gone?
Well, my joke answer is that I get divorce papers the second that we drop him off at college. That's the the joke answer of, and she hates the joke.
It's a bad joke. It's a bad joke. She's comedically opposed to the joke. I have notes on it.
Well, she's stand up too. So,
she has not stand up in ages. She's been writing for the last.
That's how
years.
I knew her as a stand up though.
And she was great, and she's a great writer, and she's amazingly funny and talented, and which I think also helps it in the dynamic of our family, that we kind of understand each other's careers and so on and so forth. But Danielle and I, we have a terrific relationship, and I'm very lucky to have found her, and I'm very lucky that she gave a crap at all to spend time with me. So, we'll do that until, we see an old couple walking, and we always will go, that's us in 30 years. That's us then, and so, and I think it will be. I think we will be that couple that you see at a restaurant and go look at them. And, you know, we'll be this loving, you know, 80 and 72 year old or whatever, you know, whatever the difference is.
Right. Just heavy making out at a TGI Fridays.
And, there's one locally here and we'll go on wing night.
We asked for, I think, for the final question before we hit the lightning round.
Oh boy.
In what ways that your parents parent you, do you think you'd want to carry forward when you have those two kids? What do you think he said?
Oh, boy. I would think that he would say what we've been talking about, like just show them respect. Don't coddle them. Don't shelter them from bad things, but don't dwell on them. I think it would be that. I think it's that.
Uh-huh. Let's find out.
Open them up to the arts.
I would say like a good balance of helping and having fun, but also pushing me to become my own person. I feel like that's a tough balance, but a balance they've done really well.
Yeah.
Not quite,
I'll tell you what, his parents sound great. They sound like great people.
They do.
Do you feel like this is giving you a perspective on yourself? Because you should feel very proud of this. I imagine if this was my kid saying these things about me, I would feel very proud.
I am, yes, I don't know if...
Not just of him, but of yourself, of the job you and Danielle have done as parents.
I mean, I guess so. But I mean, you know, there's also the self-loathing of being a comedian that plays into this. And so will I accept the compliments? Maybe I will. Yeah. It's heartwarming to hear him say these things. I mean, it really is. This has been wonderful.
Good. That's what we hope for.
Okay, let's enter the lightning round.
Boy.
Yes.
You are toast. If you've enjoyed any minute of this, we are going to erase it now. No. Yeah, this is probably the easiest and breeziest portion of the show.
Okay.
So we're going to ask you easy questions, quick, short, easy answers.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're already going in pretty hot here with 5 stars, okay? I know this is important to no one but me, but just so you know, that's actually pretty good. People can usually go in 3 and under, so you're already kind of – but I will say that the gold stars are doubled, which is also completely meaningless. But if you do get the answer right, you're going to get 2 gold stars. You really focus in here.
But I can't lose
that
stars.
Trip to Disney. You can't lose stars.
Okay. You can't lose stars. It's not Jeopardy, but that is a fun idea.
All right. So I'm going home with 5 no matter what.
At least 5.
You've now introduced the idea of losing stars. So.
Oh, no. Next episode you do that. You don't do it. You start that next episode.
And a trip to Disneyland.
Hey, I mean.
Okay. So what is Oliver's favorite color?
Oh, boy. Blue?
Blue.
Okay. Okay. 2 stars.
Well played.
What's your favorite color?
I got to go blue.
I guess also blue.
Yeah.
All right.
You guys are so cute.
This is pretty adorable. What is Oliver's favorite TV show?
Oh, boy, that's rough. It's either, depending, it could be Brooklyn Nine-Nine. He loved that for a time. Like every kid, he went through his Office phase and Parks and Rec phase. I guess I'll go with Brooklyn Nine-Nine, but I don't know if that's accurate.
Okay.
Veep.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Oh, you didn't even mention that. Of the 5 shows you mentioned.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's a great reason to deduct points, actually. If you name 10 and it's when we ask for 1 and it's none of those.
Yeah, okay. It's Veep. It is. Yeah, I'll go along with that.
You're losing a gold star.
It's one of my favorites, too. It's so good.
It's flawless.
What is Oliver's favorite food?
Oh, he likes Impossible Burgers quite a bit.
Oh, I do, too.
But he also oddly likes Fatburger, which is a strange contrast.
The opposite. On top of each other.
And who doesn't like pizza, but is that his favorite?
The answer is golf.
You know what I love about this is that you two are obviously so close and such good friends. And maybe this kind of thing is like not talked about because you get to talk about other things and do other things together. That maybe this is too surface. This is like first date stuff.
It's funny you say that. And I know it's a lightning round, but I'll say this. It's like when friends of mine had kids younger than I had, Oliver, And they would say, oh, my son is my best friend. I would go, your son's your best friend? What are you talking about?
Yeah, grow up.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, that's ridiculous. But
find a friend.
I would be lying to say if my son wasn't my best friend and Danielle wasn't my best friend. Like, it would be, you know, I don't, do best friends talk about favorite foods? You know what? I'll say pizza, but I think it might be Impossible Burger.
Sandwiches.
Oh, that sandwich.
Okay, so another great reason to deduct some points.
I mean,
here.
Honestly, the whole category of sandwiches.
I mean, it falls under the category of sandwiches.
Impossible Burger, yeah, I guess.
Points, but what a
no, definitely don't lose points.
That's a lame answer. Can we agree on that? And I will.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
What? I'm going to reprimand him tonight.
For the first time ever.
For the first time about sandwiches.
He's going to be punished. You're grounded.
Good Lord. What? He does love a tuna melt. He does love a tuna melt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
All right.
I think the internet's going to be all over this about whether or not a hamburger or an Impossible Burger is a sandwich and whether you should get the points.
It's not. No one's going to be. I think it's unanimous that it's a burger is not a sandwich.
Wait a minute.
No, there's a lot of debate about this.
Bread between two pieces of meat. Meat between two pieces of bread.
But if the meat is a cooked burger, no.
No, that's a burger is a subcategory of sandwich.
It's a sandwich.
Do you put ketchup on a sandwich?
You can absolutely
depending
can.
On the grilled sandwich.
Cheese? No, you do not. You put it on a burger.
It completely depends on the burger. Wait, a definition of a sandwich is not whether you put ketchup on.
Yeah, I don't know if that.
Yes, it is. Look it up.
It's not the deciding factor. It is not.
Absolutely not. I'm giving you a gold star because I don't want the internet to be too mad at me.
Okay,
but this will be, I don't this think will they be a will good be. Clip.
They'll be mad at me, I think.
What's Oliver's favorite video game?
Oh boy, video! He's not a video game guy. I guess he likes Guitar Hero, believe it or not. So he gets a charge out of that. He liked Mario Kart when he was younger.
I love also that he's not a video game guy. I'm terrified of my son becoming a video game guy.
I did
you know,
say that. He
you know
say
what?
He's
the, you know what's an easy way to have them not be is just never introduce them to him.
Don't like, give him video games.
Yeah, it's, he grew up in a house that his dad never cared at all. Mm-hmm. We have an old Guitar Hero laying around that he plays from time to time. All right. So when he did this interview, would that have been top of mind for him? I think because he doesn't play any, he liked watching Minecraft videos when he was younger, but I don't know if he ever really enjoyed playing Minecraft. I'm going to go with Guitar Hero just because it might be top
Why
of
not?
Mind for him.
Yeah.
Batman, the Arkham games.
Okay. Good luck. I've never heard those words said that way. So I
have to say, we cut it all out, but he was equivocating a lot because he's like, I don't really play video games. I don't like, it's all the things you did say before that. But okay. Unfortunately, that is, he did land on that answer.
Yeah. And by the way, I recognize the lightning round and I'm taking forever. I apologize.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
no I'm doing it too. It's my fault.
We asked him, do you have a favorite slang term your dad would never be caught dead saying?
Oh, man. What did he say? He said he's saying something lately. Like solid or legit. That's what he's saying. That's legit. Hey, Dad, that's legit. And he says snap a lot too, which is so incongruous to who he is. So I'll say he says snap. That's my guess.
Okay.
I don't know if this even counts, but kind of just saying like, ooh, it's over. Like whenever like something like stupid happens.
Okay, Jimmy, guess what?
What?
You're in luck though. If you listen very carefully to that answer, he said, ooh, it's over. And he snaps. So I'm going to give you one gold star.
No, you cannot give me points for that. He made a noise. That doesn't count.
It's my show. I can give you gold points.
Thank you. I'll accept them then. Yeah, okay. That's two answers of his that I think he panicked. And
this one I think you're going to get.
Okay.
We asked, what's Oliver's favorite genre of music?
He likes a bombastic brass. Those are his words, not mine. So he likes like a 60s. It's not classic rock, but he likes.
And you don't like the term old soul. He likes a 60s brass band.
I know, dude.
He's just a reincarnation. He's like a really recent reincarnation. You're like, I don't want to use the term old soul.
I just don't want. Yeah. I just don't.
That's right.
I don't know how he would. I don't know what word he would use to describe it, but I think he's into 60s music. That's what that's what he likes.
Okay.
What does he say?
It's a lot of 60s and 70s,
hey.
Like classic rock, and then some 90s hip hop, and then some of like that Rat Pack era stuff.
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah.
That's all yep. accurate.
I'm giving you the points for that one.
Okay.
Nice. And then we asked him what your favorite band is. Do you think he knows?
Yeah, I mean, Chicago. The world knows.
Chicago.
Oh, that's cute. And what's your favorite movie? Do you think he knows?
Yeah, Breaking Away.
Breaking Away.
Oh. I love you guys. And then we asked him, well, this is our last question.
Okay, here we go.
What's your favorite tabletop game? Do you think he knows what your favorite tabletop
game is? Oh, probably Scrabble, because I always ask him to play Scrabble, and he never wants to play Scrabble. So I'm going to say his answer is Scrabble.
He doesn't like the heavy stuff, or he doesn't like the complex games. He loves Scattergories.
I do like Scattergories, but...
Well, he doesn't like things that are too complicated. He likes a very simple game.
accurate.
I don't like those games where you gotta, you know,
there's like a story or
what's become the you know, all those cards and everything like that. Like board games are Monopoly to me, in Scattergories to me, like what we played as kids. And
got it.
I recognize things have progressed, but I'm an old man.
What's our total here?
10. You got 15. Stars. That's a huge number.
Record
That's a
number.
Huge number. That
record
might be a
number,
record.
And I don't tell every guest that. Yes, I do.
Do you think that maybe my score is higher than others because you did the flip flop of father and son
That's
instead
a
of
good
son
question.
With father?
I think part of it is that you guys are still in the same house.
I think that's part
and
of
you
it.
Are,
yeah.
You yep. just are really, really close. And maybe if this was 15 years from now, you would forget some things.
Yeah.
But I also think you guys are really beautifully close. And I really like this format, actually, of talking to the kid because we get to ask follow-up questions about raising people, mm-hmm. Which is what I am most curious about. So, yes, and also your relationship is really special.
Well, thank you for that, and I agree.
Okay. This is also an interesting one to end on.
Okay.
But we asked him, what do your parents fight about the most?
Oh, what do we fight about the most? That's a great question. I would imagine it has something with me being annoying based on previous answers. What do we fight about the most? Probably my need to be a control freak. But not in a weird misogynist way. I just, everything must be in its place.
Oh, that's interesting.
I'm going to say it's that. I'm going to say it's that. Because we don't fight very often, Danielle and I, but it's...
That, like organization?
Or I mean, we want to get specific. Let's say putting stuff in the dishwasher. I mean, that would be the two of them don't have a clue on how to do that. It's a madhouse in that thing.
Right, let's give it a listen then.
Okay.
I would probably say, like, legitimately the dishwasher. I would say... My dad certainly feels like he's mastered the dishwasher, and in a way he has. He certainly knows how to Tetris in all the plates and everything. But
wow.
Sort of my mom and I will just kind of throw everything in there. And then he is like, you can't do it like that. And then he'll go in and he'll reorganize the whole thing. So I think the thing that they clash about
this
the most
is definitely the dishwasher. This is an incredible skill that you taught your son. This is a value. As somebody who has dated boys and men, it is startling how many of them do not know how to clean up after themselves. Sandeep is like holding his tongue because we were roommates and I wasn't the tidiest.
I'm like, but what are you talking about?
What are you talking about? But it is so true.
Who
that I feel
you?
Like people haven't held their kids, not even just, it's not even a gender thing, to the standard of cleanliness that is required for when you live alone and nobody is cleaning up after you.
Mm-hmm.
Sandeep is holding back so much because I am such a slob. But now
I
as a mom.
I need to go back in time and play this to you. I couldn't open, like the door to open her room wouldn't open because there was so much crap on the floor. You can't
but
push
that's
it open.
Because,
it
first of all,
like it
there,
took
was,
the strength of two
there was
men
about
to open
three square feet of available room in that room.
But why
after
would
you put
you
my
cover
bed
in. It with
Sandeep was like, yeah, sure, you can come live with me and then put me in a closet.
Put
literally after
in.
I put my bed in there, there was no other room for anything. So
nobody said you
so
needed
that is one thing. Honestly, can you
okay.
keep me out of this? I'm trying to talk about Jimmy's parenting technique.
Yeah, fine. Yep.
And also, my parents didn't do a great job. Like with teaching me how to be cleanly, like it is a thing that I am still working on every day. Truly, God help me, Jimmy help me. But it is because you don't want to like force it. I was over disciplined in terms of like being clean, like to a traumatizing point. And now there was like a rebellion towards it. And now there's like an overcoming of that rebellion.
Well, we'll see which way Oliver pushes. We're going to do a follow-up podcast in about 10 years.
Let's hope
seems
you can.
Pretty well balanced. I would love that.
That would be amazing.
That would be That'd be incredible. So we'll see if he's good at the dishwasher or if he completely rebelled and is just like, you know what, forget it. I actually throw away all my dishes and buy new rugs. But in spite of that, that was still such a dead-on answer, of course, that I'm giving you double gold stars.
Thank you.
You got 17. That's why there's no doubt that you are currently the champion of
Leader
your mom's podcast.
Very exciting.
So well done. Well done. Exactly. Jimmy, thank you so much for being on your mama's podcast.
My honor. Thank you for having me. Thanks for having Oliver on. And thanks for it was fun. And I actually now can't wait for him to come home from school. So now we can finally talk about his answers and my answers and what we did get right, what we didn't, and so on.
Thank you so much, Jimmy. You have honestly truly inspired me. There are so many great takeaways here. And I'm excited to see who Oliver becomes. And I hope he's like spreading the message to other kids, you know, like that he becomes a leader in some way or like has some position of power, because I feel like we need more kids like him.
He's phone banking. I think he's going to become a leader. 16 years old. Phone bank. I think we're okay. I think the future is better off than we think it is.
I think they're going to serve us.
Jimmy, this has been fantastic. I'm about to go to talk to my 5-year-old and share all my failures with him. So thank you so much.
That's what to do. Thank you for having me.
I'm going to go explain Ukraine to my 3-year-old. Okay. Thanks. Bye, everybody.
Your Mom is a podcast is hosted by Milana Weintraub and Sandeep Parikh. It is executive produced by Milana Weintraub, Sandeep Parikh, and Stephen Hine. Editing and sound design is by Sean Marr. Music by Matt Friedman. This podcast comes from F and Funny Productions and Story Mill Media. Be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram and TikTok at Your Mom is a Podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Seal off drafts, dust, and moisture with MD Weather Stripping from Menards. A well-sealed home is more comfortable and energy efficient. We have the largest selection of in-stock weather stripping with over 130 products available to take home and start lowering your energy bills today. Save big money on MD Weather Stripping right now at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.